From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As the part of these studies in the book of Judges, Dr. Cairns has come to deal with the judge Jephthah, whose career is recorded in chapters 11 and 12. When Israel fell into bondage under the Ammonites, the Jewish leaders recognized Jephthah, the son of a harlot, as a mighty man with military skills. So, swallowing their pride, they asked him to become their captain in the battle against the forces of Ammon. As Dr. Cairns will show from the scriptural record, Jephthah was a godly man. He was one of the few in Judges of whom it is recorded that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. Jephthah was a brave warrior, but he was also a tender-hearted man, the father of a daughter whom he loved greatly. The blemish in Jephthah's otherwise praiseworthy actions concerns the rash vow which he made, which had unhappy consequences for his daughter. In a message called A Portrait of Jephthah, Warts and All, Dr. Cairns presents a picture of a good man who had his faults and yet was used of God. Dr. Cairns will commence this message in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, God is Our Ally. The text is found in Exodus 23 and verse 22. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies, and an adversary unto thine adversaries. The Lord Christ in the midst of his people is to be acknowledged and obeyed. He is the vice-regent of God and speaks in the Father's name, and it is ours implicitly and immediately to do as he commands. We shall lose the promise if we disregard the precept. To full obedience, how large the blessing! The Lord enters into a league with his people, offensive and defensive. He will bless those who bless us and curse those who curse us. God will go heart and soul with his people and enter in deepest sympathy into their position. What a protection this affords us! We need not concern ourselves about our adversaries when we are assured that they have become the adversaries of God. If Jehovah has taken up our quarrel, we may leave the foeman in his hands. So far as our own interest is concerned, we have no enemies. But for the cause of truth and righteousness, we take up arms and go forth to conflict. In this sacred war, we are allied with the eternal God. And if we carefully obey the law of our Lord Jesus, he is engaged to put forth all his power on our behalf. Wherefore, we fear no man.
Oh,
On the night before the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, he instituted an ordinance by which his people were to remember him until his second coming. Known as the Lord's Supper, or Communion, this simple yet profound ceremony pictures Christ's broken body and shed blood through the common elements of bread and wine. Through the centuries, this observance has been a precious and solemn time for the Lord's people. Yet it has also been a subject of much abuse by those who come to this table of the Lord. At the extreme, a person's attitude toward it was a matter of life and death. During the time of the Reformation, many people were burned at the stake for refusing to accept the insistence of the Roman Catholic Church that the elements of communion literally became Christ's flesh and blood. Some groups see the elements as mere symbols, while others find in the Lord's table a much deeper significance. Dr. Alan Cairns recently wrote a short book in which he deals with the Lord's Supper from the scriptural teaching on the subject. Simply titled, The Lord's Supper, the book is subtitled, An Earthly Encounter with the Heavenly Christ. Its aim is to stir the hearts of believers to enter into the joyful fellowship our Savior holds out to us as we eat this bread and drink this cup in remembrance of him. Let the Bible Speak has obtained a limited number of copies of this publication, which are available to our listeners. The price for each copy of the Lord's Supper is $8, which includes shipping and handling. You may have a copy by sending your check for $8 made out to Let the Bible Speak. Send it to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Be sure to request your copy of the Lord's Supper today.
Judges chapter 11, Judges chapter 11, starting at verse 29. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed over Gilead and Manasseh, and passed over Mizpah of Gilead, and from Mizpah of Gilead he passed over unto the children of Ammon. And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord, and said, If thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. So Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them. And the Lord delivered them into his hands, and he smote them from Aroer, even till thou come to Minnith, even 20 cities, and unto the plain of the vineyards, with a very great slaughter. Thus the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. And Jephthah came to Mizpah unto his house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and with dances, and she was his only child. Beside her he had neither son nor daughter. And it came to pass when he saw her, that he rent his clothes and said, Alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me, for I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. And she said unto him, My father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord, do to me according to that which hath proceeded out of thy mouth. For as much as the Lord hath taken vengeance for thee of thine enemies, even of the children of Ammon. And she said unto her father, Let this thing be done for me. Let me alone 2 months, that I may go up and down upon the mountains and bewail my virginity, I and my fellows. And he said, Go. And he sent her away for 2 months. And she went with her companions and bewailed her virginity upon the mountains. And it came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned unto her father, who did with her according to his vow which he had vowed, and she knew no man. And it was a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament the daughter of Jephthah, the Gileadite, 4 days in a year. Finishing the reading at the end of chapter 11, the Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. The celebrated command of Oliver Cromwell, when he was Lord Protector of England, to his portrait painter was to paint him as he was, warts and all. If you've ever seen a portrait of Oliver Cromwell, you'll know what the warts and all signified. All too often, when we deal with historical characters, sometimes even when we deal with our contemporaries and even with our friends, we ignore their warts and their blemishes, or sometimes even go to the opposite extreme and so dwell on their warts and their blemishes that we pass over entirely their greater virtues. Now, it would be very easy to adopt either course in dealing with the man whose life story is before us tonight, the man to whom the children of Israel turned in the day of their extremity for leadership and deliverance from the twin evils of the Ammonites and the Philistines, who, though mortal enemies, were yet using a common cause to squeeze the life out of the nation of Israel. That man was Jephthah. The story of Jephthah's warfare is one of the most challenging in all of the Bible, while the story of Jephthah's home life is one of the most tender and poignant in all of Scripture. For all his warlike characteristics, Jephthah, when brought to power, first sought to deliver Israel, not by war, but by a very well-reasoned diplomatic approach to the king of Ammon. Those of you who have ever heard or read the great speeches of Sir Winston Churchill will remember one line, an immortal line, that loses a lot when it's not spoken with an English accent. You've got to understand that words that end in A-W and words that end in A-R sound the same to an Englishman. And Churchill's great line was that jaw, jaw is always better than war, war. That's very hard for an Irishman to say. Just the pronunciation, of course, not the sentiment. Jephthah had that idea. If we can establish sense by talk, we'll talk. But if talk is going to cost us our principles and our faith, then we will fight. When Jephthah, we can learn a lot from this, when Jephthah finally took the field of battle, He did so not apologetically, not as some cooing dove who was there against his will and was afraid of the battle, but he went in decisively and very quickly won the victory for his people. There's a lot of good political science in that characteristic of Jephthah's, which I'm going to leave for you to study for yourself. But Jephthah knew that his defeat or his victory would come from the Lord of battles. And therefore, before going out to fight Ammon, he entered into this solemn vow of which we have read this evening. A vow before God that if the Lord brought him back in victory and in peace, the first thing that met him from his house as he approached in victory would be given to the Lord as a burnt offering. When he returned, of course, it was his only daughter who met him. The scene between the father and the daughter is touching, not less because of the noble character that she displays, the obedience, the submission to the will of God. There is, I think, a wealth of insight into the home life of Jephthah, a man whom I indicated last week is largely maligned and largely misunderstood, even by preachers. There's a wealth of insight into the kind of home he had and the kind of family that he raised when you see the response of this young woman to what was a very extreme situation. There could be no going back on the vow, though, as I'll indicate as we progress, I think there is every reason biblically to believe that the vow was fulfilled not by her death, but by her life in the house of God as a servant in the tabernacle of the Lord. You can see from all this that there were two sides to Jephthah, a tough side and a tender side. The Ammonites felt the tough side. His daughter knew the tender side. If you read on into chapter 12, you will find that the Ephraimites also discovered the tough side of Jephthah. When they tried to chide Jephthah, as they had done with Gideon, they found that whereas Gideon had placated them with soft words, a soft answer turneth away wrath, Jephthah was implacable, and as a terrible judge, he came upon them, slaughtering 42,000 of the flower of Ephraimite manhood, teaching them once and for all, hopefully, a terrible, unforgettable lesson. Now, it's this complex character that we want to think about tonight. And linking him with Cromwell, I want us to paint a portrait of Jephthah, warts and all. We so often idealize the men of Scripture. We paint them in glowing terms and characteristics that are totally divorced from our reality. We forget what the Holy Ghost said even of Elijah, the prophet of fire, that he was a man. And not only was he a mere man, he was a man subject to like passions as we are. It is always a mistake for a preacher in preaching upon a character of Scripture to set up the personal characteristics of that man as if they were these wonderful high ideals that ordinary mortals can never reach. Jephthah was a great man. Indeed, I indicated last week that when you look at the overall picture, there are tremendous parallels between Jephthah and the Christ whom he served. And there is nothing better can ever be said about your life or my life than this, that it presents Jesus Christ. Nothing better can be said about us. That's better than all the talent in the world. That's better than all the learning in the world. That's better than all the success in the world. To have a life
that at every step, or at as many steps as possible, is a picture of Jesus Christ. My friend, that is true godliness. And that was certainly something that we saw in the life of Jephthah. He was a good man, but like Cromwell, he had his warts. Unattractive. It would be nice to do a little surgical work and remove them and pretend they were never there. But you see, God has put the warts in the record so that, if I may use such an undignified expression, as warty characters like you and me can see the message of grace. Jephthah then, warts and all. I want you to think of his victimization right at the very beginning. We didn't read this passage this evening, to which I now refer for the sake of time, but going back to the beginning of chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, we find that Jephthah was victimized first in that he was the product of an immoral and an illicit relationship. Jephthah's birth was scarred by his parents' sin. That led on not only to an impediment at the very beginning of his life, but something that grew into a major difficulty as he progressed. Because in verse 2 and verse 3, we find that his whole life was marred. His whole life was scarred, and he became the victim of family hatred. I want you to get the picture then of this young man. He's been scarred by a birth that he had nothing to do with. A birth brought about by deep sin. And according to the perverseness of human nature, the opprobrium and the shame of that sin, instead of attaching to Gilead, it attached to Jephthah. How stupid can man get? But that was the case. Jephthah bore the scars. Gilead was a proud man, very obviously, in his community. Then his circumstances were far from ideal. His early experiences were certainly not anything that would lead to a stable character or a godly way of life. Among all the ramblings and the inanities and insanities of psychologists, there is a lot of truth in their assertion that the scars that so are evident in the mature person's character can very often be traced to much earlier problems in their life. An awful lot of people, of course, are hiding behind that. Why did you cut that man's head off? Well, my mommy didn't love me enough. I'm sure there may be a connection, but it's not an excuse. Why did you do some dastardly deed? Well, my daddy used to get drunk, and a terrible thing to have to confess. And again, there may well be a connection, but it's not an excuse. I want you to see in Jephthah's case, grace prevailed. Jephthah was victimized by a birth scarred and marred by sin. Jephthah was victimized by early home experiences that certainly were horrific and heart-rending. But these things did not conquer him, and they did not change his life ultimately for the worse, because the power of grace, and as Hebrews 11 makes it clear, the power of faith made the difference.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.